From Delray Beach, Florida, welcome to Life Change Weekend with Dr. Dino Padrone. Hear the stories of individuals who, through their conversion experiences, books written, ministry served, special truths from Scripture, or trips taken, tell their story. These stories and teachings are life-changing. So thank you for joining us, and get set for some life change. Here is your host, Dr. Dino Padrone.
Thank you and welcome into our program today. Delighted you're listening in. At my last trip that I went to Israel, I met a good friend, Idan Giva. He is a licensed tour guide from Engev Jordan Valley. And he was lecturing as we were going around the Jordan Valley down into the Galilee area. I'll never forget a statement he made. In fact, I asked him to write it down. Now, he is a Jewish man with Jewish religion, not a follower of Jesus Christ, but here's what he said. One man from the peasant class of his time speaks to other people of the peasant class of their time on a 9-mile strip of beach, and the entire world has changed. This is so statistically impossible that the only logical conclusion is the hand of God. When he said that, I asked him, I said, well, how can you say that and not be a follower of Jesus? He said, I have trouble with the resurrection. I asked him then, I said, well, do you think the Messiah is coming again? He said, yes. And I said, who do you think he is? He said, well, I know you think he's Jesus. And it is true, Jesus Christ is coming again. And we're so glad to have our good friend on and a regular here with our program on the weekend, Pastor Bob Catalisa, coming on with us today. And we're going to talk about the coming of the Lord. And Pastor Bob, good to have you on. I just was thinking, Pastor Bob, there are 22 Arab nations that are full of the Palestinians and the Arabs, and yet one little strip of land, a little less, I guess, than the size of New Jersey, and everybody fights over that because of the Jewish people. Tell us a little bit about the background in Israel with this whole idea of what we're looking at here.
Yeah, in fact, what you say is really true. In fact, I just heard something recently where someone said, 2 billion people around the world celebrate the birth of a Jewish man in Israel. On the other hand, people say that the Jews didn't come to Israel until 1947. So there's clearly a disconnect in a lot of people's minds.
And yeah,
you're right. I mean, Israel has only 0.1% of the world's population. And the land area, you're right, is so small. I mean, it's 0.04% of the world's land area, or, you know, if it was 25 times bigger, it would be only 1% of the world's land. And so it's a tiny country. There's no oil. I mean, the Middle East is full of oil, and yet there's none in Israel, but it's the center of global attention. And of course, we know why, because God's word says Israel is important, not just in the past, but also in the future.
Yeah, it's a very interesting topic. Now, this whole idea of the coming of the Lord, there's different views that people have on the coming of the Lord. I remember, Pastor Bob, a few years ago, I spoke in a conference, and one of the speakers there, Dr. Gary Cohen, got up. I'll never forget what he said to the congregation. He said, now, don't get mad at me. And what he was saying was, I may have a little different view on some things, but just don't get mad at me. Let's not start an argument. Because this does become kind of controversial about what people believe about the coming of the Lord. So tell us, what are some of the ideas that people have about the coming of the Lord?
Well, I think what you said at the beginning is really good. I think this is an area, there are a lot of things in the Bible that aren't really open for different interpretations. You know, when the Bible says don't steal, it means don't steal. I mean, there's not a lot of interpretation, but definitely with future events there is. And so we do have to have a little bit of humility as we approach it, to say this is what I think the Bible says, but to recognize that good godly men and women can disagree. There's three major camps of what is, you know, what is coming and what the Bible says about the future. And it all, they all kind of circle around the millennium, which is, I would believe, a literal 1,000-year reign of Jesus Christ. And some believe it's the 1,000 years is not necessarily literal, so it may be longer, maybe shorter, but it all circles around that. So there's amillennials, and that's really a bad name for them. It was probably given to them by people that disagreed with them, but because the word means no. So an atheist or an atheist believes in no God. An amoral person believes in no morality. But an amillennial actually does believe in the millennium. They just don't believe it will be for a literal 1,000 years. And they also think we're in the millennium right now. Jesus is ruling and reigning, albeit in heaven. And almost all the promises and almost all of Revelation is figurative and not literal. The same with the Old Testament prophecies about Jesus's future kingdom. It's just all kind of an allegory and spiritualized and not something that literally happens on earth. And then there's the post-millennials, and that's interesting. Post-millennials were really big in Christianity in the late 1800s and even after World War I, which was the war to end all wars. And the reason they were, kind of popular then was because post-millennials are incredible optimists. They believe that the millennium occurs before the return of Jesus, which means things will continue to get better and better. And the church will then usher in this golden age of Christianity, and Jesus will come back. And so when in times of history, when people thought things were getting better and better, that was a popular view. It's not popular now. But some do believe that. And then finally, the pre-millennials, that would be where I would put myself. And there's lots of variations among pre-millennials, but they believe that Jesus will return before he will then set up a kingdom on earth called the millennium for 1,000 years. Among pre-millennials, there's the variations of what is the tribulation look like. So an amillennial will say we're in the millennium and the tribulation now. They're all kind of spiritualized. A premillennial would say, no, the tribulation hasn't happened yet either. And pre-tribulational premillennials say that the church is raptured before the tribulation. Mid-tribulationals, the most popular is pre-wrath. They believe that the church will be raptured sometime in the middle of the tribulation, and then post-tribulation premillennials think that the church is going to be raptured right at the end. It'll be like a, you know, carnival ride. We go up to meet Jesus and we come immediately back down. Then he sets up his kingdom.
Yeah, that's a good explanation of all of that. I got to tell you a funny story, Pastor Bob. When I was 18 years of age, I went to Practical Bible Training School. I was raised in a good church. I knew the gospel message. I didn't know much about prophecy, and I'm sure the church talked about it. I guess maybe I was snoozing during the time. I don't know. But when I was walking across the campus, there were a group of seniors there, and I stopped to see what they were talking about, and they were talking about this millennial. And I had no idea what they were talking about. And one of them, and in fact, if I mention some of these names, there are well-known people in the Christian world today. The one said to me, "So, Dino, what are you? Are you a premillennialist? Are you a postmillennialist? Are you an amillennialist?" Now, here I am, a freshman. I have no idea what they're talking about. And I know that my answer, they're going to remember well to instruct me down the road. They're seniors. And I said, "Well, what are you guys?" And they said, "We're premillennialists." I said, "Well, that's what I'm going to be." And I walked away. And I went to see one of the professors, and I said, "This whole thing about the millennial, could you tell me what it is?" And so I sat there, and he explained it in 5 minutes, and I got lost after about a minute. And I've always said I've been a premillennialist ever since. But it is teaching that's good and very important. But is it confusing then to people, or is this something that it's the heart of what we need to be following, Pastor?
Yeah, and it is confusing. It is difficult, and so many good things are. And I think when God says something once, we need to listen. But when he repeats himself dozens of times, it must be really important. And we have to recognize it's not just Revelation and Daniel that are dedicated to this topic of what's going to happen in the future and Jesus reigning on earth and the reinstatement of Israel as a center of world spiritual focus. But I mean, this is something in multiple books. I think someone once said like 20% of the Bible is prophecy. And so ignoring what the Bible teaches about the return of Jesus is kind of like asking, are the last couple chapters of a book important? And, you know, sometimes that's the most important part of the book. In fact, when we were growing up, my sister would always read the end first because she just wanted to know. And even, you know, Ecclesiastes 7:8 is something I read a lot at funerals. It says the end of a matter is better than its beginning. And I think that's not only true of my life and your life, but I think it's true of the history of the world. The return of Jesus is the greatest hope the world has. History is not cyclical in this perpetual cycle of good and evil. It's going somewhere. History is going somewhere. There won't continually be this injustice and pain and death on earth forever. Joy and peace is not just something we'll experience in heaven after we die. One day, God will bring his kingdom in heaven to earth, and he'll fix everything.
It's a wonderful truth, isn't it? You're listening into Life Change Weekend. We're glad that you're listening in. I want to thank many of you out there who support our pastors in Myanmar. We have been supporting 10 pastors there for several years. In fact, every time I mention this important need, and through the direction of our international director, Rick Ramsey, the finances have come in to support these 10 pastors, and we send the funds to them every 3 months. Here are some of the letters that come in. One of this letter is from Kiagani Baptist Church in Myanmar. It says, I am very thankful for the financial supporters for your kind aid during these difficult times. And as many of you know, they've gone through a coup there. COVID was just very difficult for them. And that's a wonderful note to have sent to us about those who have been helping them. This letter is from the Bethlehem Baptist Church of Kagan Town, Chin City. It says, I give thanks to the Almighty for preserving me, as well as heartfelt thanks to supporters for their financial aid. I like what he says there. I thank the Almighty for preserving me. And this means so much to these dear people. We in America don't understand this sometimes. Our program goes into Africa and other places now. And I know that some of you are going through challenging time as well. But this dear brother from Chin City speaks right from his heart when he writes that. Then this one from Talkani Village, Titan Township, Chin City. It says, the love of God never fails me, and I'm thankful to you, his servants, for your support and love. So I want to thank you. You can send your gifts. Simply go to our webpage, DinoPedroMinistries.com. Go to the donate button and send it, or you can send it to us here as well at 292 Piedmont. To send it to us, Dino Pedro Ministries, 292 Piedmont. That's Delray City, Florida, 33484. Well, Matthew 24 is a very well-known passage of Scripture, Pastor, that deals with this whole concept of the coming of the Lord. Give us some of the truth of that wonderful passage.
Yeah, there is a lot of questioning about what needs to happen before Jesus returns. And that's something that Jesus' own disciples asked him about. They came to him privately and said, Jesus, you need to tell us, when will all of this happen? That's Matthew 24:3. What sign will signal your return in the end of this age? And so then Jesus goes on to talk about this. And I'll just read some of it. He says, Jesus told him, don't let anyone mislead you, for many will come in my name claiming I'm the Messiah, and they will deceive many. And you'll hear of wars and threats of wars, but don't panic. Yes, these things must take place, but the end won't follow immediately. And so it's interesting. One of the things I often hear about with a sign that Jesus' return is soon is that there are wars and rumors of wars. But Jesus is actually saying, no, that's not really a sign that I'll return. These things have to take place, but it doesn't mean my return is imminent. He goes on to talk about other things that would make it imminent. And so verse 7, nation will go to war against nation and kingdom against kingdom. There will be famines and earthquakes in many parts of the world. But all this is only the first of the birth pangs with more to come. And again, he's saying war, famine, earthquakes, these things will happen. But this isn't really, this doesn't mean it's imminent right away. But he goes on to say what does mean his return is soon. And that's in verse 9. He says, then you will be arrested, persecuted, and killed, and you will be hated all over the world because you're my followers. The worldwide hatred of Christians has only happened in recent history. There couldn't have been worldwide hatred of Christians in the first century because most of the world never heard of Christians. And even in the 1700s, many places in the world weren't aware of Christians. But today, actually listening to this radio program online is illegal for about 20% of the world's population. You know, Open Doors says that it is worse for Christians today than any time in the 30 years their organization has tracked Christian persecution. And yeah, in places like Myanmar, the civil war there is mostly of a Buddhist government against different tribal folks, many of whom are Christians. And so I would say right now that prophecy isn't completely fulfilled. I don't think all nations hate us yet, but I think it's partially fulfilled. And due to mass media and propaganda, I think it could be fulfilled very quickly. And maybe perhaps is. There definitely are people in all nations that hate Christians today. So, and it's important as I go through these things, Jesus is talking about his physical return to earth, which I believe happens after the rapture, after the 7-year tribulation period. And so I don't think any of these things are at a place where Jesus couldn't return for the church right now. These are just things that need to happen before he returns after the tribulation. And you may say that Christians are hated all over the world today. He goes on, verse 10, he says, at that time, many will turn away from the faith and betray and hate each other. And so he's saying we should expect a lot of deconversion stories and people no longer following Jesus the closer we get to his return. That's definitely 100% fulfilled. Verse 11, many false prophets will successfully deceive many people. 1.9 billion people on earth follow the teachings of the false prophet Muhammad. About 16 million follow the teachings of the false prophet Joseph Smith. And on top of that, there's a lot of lesser-known modern-day cults like Iglesia Ni Cristo, which has over 20 million followers of the false prophet Felix Manalo. And so verse 11, Matthew 24, that has definitely been fulfilled. Many false prophets successfully deceiving many people. He has three more. One is, because of the increase of wickedness, the love of most will grow cold, but the one who stands firm to the end will be saved. And I would say that's a defining factor of the church in America. The love of most Christians has grown cold. And I hope that doesn't happen to you as our listeners and to me. But it's definitely been fulfilled. Verse 15, this gospel of the kingdom will be preached in the world, the whole world, as a testimony to all nations. And then the end will come. And so I think that's one of the biggest things Jesus is saying you need to watch for before he returns. And if you define a nation politically, then this has already happened. The gospel of the kingdom has been preached throughout every political nation in the world. But some define it as a distinct people group, maybe have their own language. In that case, it's almost fulfilled. In fact, over 60 years ago, there's a Canadian pastor, Oswald Smith, who said, we talk about the second coming. Half the world has never heard of the first. But since then, many more people have heard or have had access to the gospel. And there are only about 26 million people in perhaps 500 ethnic groups who have no known believers, no church, no missionary witnessing to them. And that sounds like a lot of people, 26 million, but it's less than 4% of the world's population. Just in my lifetime, there's been a tremendous acceleration in taking the gospel to all nations. At Bridgewater here, we had some missionaries, Joe and Elna Snyder, and they're now retired, but we supported them for decades. And they started a church among the Trinitario people in Bolivia along the Amazon River. And they spent most of their life not only witnessing, but translating the Bible into the Trinitario language. And for generations, missionaries like them have had the creed, one team, one language, one lifetime. That's how long it took to translate the Bible, your entire life. Hmm. I cut out this clip, a 1990 headline. It said, 1,907 languages have at least some part of the Bible translated. Only 4,263 to go. Uh-huh. In the 1990s, it was estimated it would take over 150 years to take the Bible to all nations. But I read a Denver Post article a few years ago, and it said, we're in the greatest period of acceleration in 20 centuries of Bible translations. And the president of Wycliffe Bible Translators 1 Billion Last Languages campaign, and he said, because of computers, translators expect to have the Bible or some of it written in every one of the world's 6,900 spoken languages by 2025. Now, COVID set them back a little bit, but a mission that hasn't been accomplished for 2,000 years and something that Jesus said had to happen before he returns may be done in just the next couple years.
Very fascinating stuff, Pastor Bob. You know, deconstructionism, deconversion, it seems like weekly I hear a story of well-known people where that's happening. It is a tragedy. Remember, Jesus said, when I return to the earth, where there will be faith. It's interesting, Pastor, Pew Research did a survey and found that 39% of Americans believe that we are living in the last days. That's fascinating. Mm. And 49% of high school students said they believe we are living in the last days. I applaud the high school students, which are even higher than the Americans. But also was fascinating that 9% of atheists said they believe in the last days. I don't even know what that means, but they believe that we're living in the last days. And so there's kind of this feeling out there, this sense out there that, well, there's something happening or something brewing out here. You're listening into Life Change Weekend. This is Dina Padron and Pastor Bob Kadlecic is chatting with us today. And Pastor, we have about 2 minutes left. There's anxiety and fear. Give us some hope through this anxiety and fear about these last days and the return of our Lord.
Definitely. In fact, I left off, there is a sixth sign that Jesus talks about, but maybe we can do that on the next program. But I think you're absolutely right. So many Christians hear, they read Revelation, they hear about the last days, and it provokes fear. But if you're not saved, if you're not following Jesus, I do think you should be afraid. But if you do know him as your Savior, God can be trusted. He is in control. And in the end, we win. You know, if we're on God's side, and if you fear God and respect him, you don't have to fear anything else. And so it should be encouraging and comforting to know someday Jesus will bring this craziness to an end. I think of those men you're supporting in Myanmar. I think they have a different view of the return of Jesus Christ. I think they're waiting in really hopeful expectation because things are difficult for them. Mm-hmm. And I think maybe the ease of Christianity in America is something that may be actually counterproductive in our spiritual lives. And we need to live in such a way that the return of Jesus is something we just hope for because we're ready and we're right with God.
Thank you, Pastor Bob. And we're glad you've been listening in today. Pastor Bob will join us next week. And we'll continue on that last point you had too next week, Pastor Bob, with the other things that you have. Glad you're listening in. This is Dina Padron from South Florida, thanking you for listening in to Life Change Weekend. This is Dina Padron Ministries presenting Life Change Weekend. And we're glad that you've listened in. And my friend, if you don't know the Lord Jesus, I want to encourage you to come to Jesus and make him your Savior. Let me pray with you. Father, thank you for the truth that we've heard today about the Word of God concerning the return of our Lord. I again think about my Jewish friend who said that it was the hand of God when Jesus did what he did on the earth, and yet there was a rejection of the resurrection. Lord, may we understand that Jesus is the answer. I am the way, the truth, and the life. Thank you, Father, for this program. In Jesus' name, amen. Join us Monday through Friday for Life Change Today that talks about the teaching of God's Word, and then Saturday's the weekend edition. Have a wonderful, wonderful weekend.
You have been listening to Life Change Weekend. Life Change is brought to you through the International Dino Padron Ministry, which includes radio, television, live stream programming, podcasts, literature, online education, the support of indigenous ministries, and progressive approaches to help people grow their faith. To receive our complimentary monthly newsletter, send your postal or email address to dinopadron@gmail.com or dinopadronministries.org. That's dinopadron@gmail.com or dinopadronministries.org. Stay tuned to our weekday Bible study Monday through Friday. Thank you for joining us, and we'll be with you next week on Life Change Weekend.